I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We still got a couple hours left, and then it is officially Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's tomorrow. Get your questions emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I just came across this from an economics professor. I'm going to get back to all the gun stuff and Pelosi, and I'll get to emails. I'll probably even take some phone calls and stuff like that tonight, but I thought it was important to have an uncomfortable, offensive conversation because I think that's the best kind of radio. Chart came out. This is according to the College Board, and it's the percentage of test takers for the 2021 math SAT with 700 to 800 scores within various racial groups. Now, what does that mean? That's, oh my gosh, I'm already confused. Who did good on the math part of the SAT? What percentage did good on the math part of the SAT? Bottom of the barrel, when in the four different groups they separate this into is Black, Hispanic, White, and Asian. And I realize there are a bunch of different subgroups. Bottom of the barrel was Black, 2%. Hispanic, 3%. White, 9%. Asian, 20%. I actually have a funny story I'm going to tell you that's wildly inappropriate that has to do with this here in a second. Don't worry, Chris. It'll be fine. We'll get in a little bit of trouble. It'll be fine. But let's talk about this because you're never supposed to talk about this, right? What causes that? What is it? Is it Asian people are smarter? They're just naturally born with bigger brains? And what white people and Hispanics and Black people were all just dumb? I mean, if you're white, your brain's a little bit bigger, and then those poor Hispanics and Black, they're just born dumb. Is that what it is? Well, if you're an extremely dumb person, that's what you believe it is, and that's not what it is at all. Everything is culture. Culture, culture, culture. Everything. Your mom, your dad, your religious beliefs, what you consume for entertainment, what you get for education. These are the things that will have a huge determining factor in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're Black, white, Asian, whatever. I've told you this story before. Now, this isn't the inappropriate one. I'll get to that in a minute. But I had Tiana Lowe on the show before. She's one of these economic gurus, and she's also part Asian. I think she's a quarter Chinese. And I was talking to her about, you know, why were you such a good student? I think she was like 4.0 scholarships, all these things. And she said, hey, when I was on, every day my dad would drive me to school. Every single day her father would get up and drive her to school. And they didn't sit in silence. They didn't jam to Led Zeppelin. And you know what they did? He quizzed her on math problems out of his head the whole time on the way to school. She had 30 minutes in the car every single day doing math. That's culture. People will mislabel Black people in this country in a really, really wrong way. And our side will do this too. Every side does this. I mean, everyone knows the communists hate everyone, so let's set them aside. But we will do this too, especially our low IQ people. We'll look at some video of some Black gangster shooting up Philadelphia, and we'll say, well, Black people committing all the crimes, Black people. No, that's urban Black culture. That's poor urban Black culture. Poor urban Black culture is garbage, absolute garbage. It's full of drugs, single parent homes, bad educations. That has nothing to do with skin color or Black people. I have Black people all over my neighborhood. None of them are like that. None of them have ever shot anybody. We hang out. We talk about, well, the same things everyone talks about. Kids, how's a job going? How's the house? Oh, I can't believe I got a fixed offense. That's nothing to do with the color of your skin. You can have an Asian child born Asian and pluck that child away from its mother's arms and drop him in, you know, some bad part of Brooklyn and have him raised in a single parent home where his mom deals drugs, Grandma deals drugs, gangs all around him, and that child is going to grow up and have very little chance at life. And you can pluck a black child from that same area and drop him in a home with an Asian family, and he'll be doing math problems when he's 6 years old, and they'll be pressing and pressing him and pressing him, and he'll know school is of a value and family is of a value, and that child is going to be a success. But we never talk about that in this country, because talking about culture somehow scares the people who should be talking about it. And we know the communists will try to use it. We'll have all kinds of complaints off of this. I don't give a crap. I'm not worried about talking about it. Why don't we talk about it? Why can't we have this conversation? I don't care that it offends you. You know what it's like in my area? I live in Texas. It was like this actually up in Dallas where I've lived, in San Antonio where I've lived, and now I live down here in Houston. You know what it is in my area? Every single dry cleaner, every single donut shop, every single nail salon is run by Asians. You walk in these places, you go pick up your dry cleaning, you go get some donuts. Not only are you running into an Asian behind the counter, you're running into either her husband or his wife. The kids are there. Oftentimes the grandkids are there running around the floor with little toys. I just had to go to a donut shop, get some stuff for an event we were doing last Saturday. It was 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Three generations of the Asian family in there, small business, grinding, 7 a.m. working. That's culture. That's culture. And that's the difference. And look, this is why people won't talk about it, because everyone will now, not everyone, that's not fair. People will yell and scream about this now. I'll show up to all kinds of emails, and I don't care. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Emails tell me about how offended you are about this or how offended you are about that. And remember, I don't give a crap if you're offended. It's true. What I just said was true. But people don't want to accept it's true, because people oftentimes want simple explanations. They do. Asian, smart, black, dumb. That's what people want. They don't want to dig even an inch deeper than that. And so that's what you get over and over and over again. You don't talk about culture. Culture is everything. Absolutely everything. You have a loving mother, a loving father. Do they tell you to study hard, work hard? Do they try? Are they proactive about giving you values? Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Hold the door open for people. You know, have a good heart. Whatever values they are, man, you're probably going to turn out great. No matter what skin color you are, you're probably going to turn out great. I've told you this before. We've talked about it before. There's a documentary out there. It was about the Crips and the Bloods, these two big black gangs. This one was specifically about South Central LA, the Crips and the Bloods. And one interview, I don't think I'll ever forget it as long as I live. One guy was talking about how his mother dealt drugs, and his grandmother dealt drugs, and cops burst in one day to bust them, and his grandmother gave him her drugs to hide when he was a tiny kid. I forget how young he was, 6, 7 years old. What chance do you have if that's your culture? If that's your culture, what chance do you have? And that's what I have to say about it. By the way, I'll take phone calls on it. I'll take phone calls on anything tonight. I'm in a great mood. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. Don't care what it is. You're welcome to call in about anything tonight. You can call in about your blessings. I thought that was important to bring up, because people get that wrong all the time. All right, now for my really inappropriate story. I've told it before. So, you know, I come from a construction family. My old man's a little rough around the edges. I make the all-city spelling bee competition. And believe me when I tell you, the city was like 30,000 people. It's not like I was some really accomplished guy. And it was in Bozeman, Montana. It was like the fifth grade or something like that. I was not a nerd, Chris. That's not fair. That's not nice. Anyway, I show up. I make the, and there's, I would guess, 100 kids there. And my old man shows up. And this is back when Bozeman was basically all white. We had one black kid in the high school. He was a running back. And other than that, it was all white. And I mean all white. It's just the way Montana was back then. It's different now. But there was they were starting to introduce, you had to sit with your family in the audience, and then they would call the kids up by name and everybody would clap and stuff like that. And all the kids are going up, they're getting introduced. And all of a sudden this Asian kid gets introduced up there. And my old man, without missing a beat, leans over and pats me on the back and says, "Boy, looks like you're playing for second today." My mom was mortified, and he went on to win the whole thing. What, Chris? Oh, yeah. He won it all. No, he won it all. And let me just say, I may have been playing for second. I didn't win second. Hey, some of those words are hard. And look, it's like, oh, I know. Hey, you know, we're going to be back in a second, and I'm finally going to get to this Nancy Pelosi double down on the crazy stuff I've been talking about. And then we're going to get to Inez Stettman about something else. Remember, you can call in 877-377-4373.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember to get your questions in for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. Get them in right now, though. Ask Dr. Wait, that came out wrong. Hold on, Chris. I messed that up. I'm a bit of a linguist. All right. Get your questions for tomorrow in today. Did that make that? That was better, I think, Chris. I think that was better the second time. Email Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Linda in Florida, go.
Hi. I had just wanted to add to the fact that my son, he's gone to Christian school his whole life, and in the fourth grade, his class took a school trip to different assisted living facilities around Tampa Bay. And it was really sad, one thing I noticed without, I mean, yeah, it sounds like I'm not trying to be racist or anything and it's PC, but I noticed the bulk of the elderly were Caucasian. And it is really unfortunate to see how, and I'm white myself. I wasn't born in this country. I was born in former Czechoslovakia. But nevertheless, the majority of the people there were, they were white. And I think I saw, of the four different facilities we went to, I think I saw like three different Asian people that were there. And it goes to show you, like, and you do know that the Asian culture, they take care of their own.
It's an excellent phone call. And she's 100% right. And again, look, we always have to be acknowledged. We always have to acknowledge. Why can't I talk tonight? We always have to acknowledge the flaws in our own culture when we see them. That's true. I've been to plenty of these old folks' homes too. I used to have to do that for a living. I'd go around and interview people. It's a long story, but it is true. It is standard in America. I don't want to say white culture. That's probably not fair. That's too broad. Like saying Asian culture is way too broad too. I realize that. But in America, white people, when parents get older, they stash them in homes. Asians don't do that. Asians view the family as much more of a closer-knit group, and in my opinion, that's superior. And look, when you look at the success levels of the various cultures within America, I don't know how that's debatable. It's just, look, it's just my opinion. Jose, Alabama, go, boss.
Hey, how you doing, Jesse? Thanks for taking my call. This is the first time I ever heard you and happened to be tuning into your show. You were so right about the culture that brings everything. I mean, my dad brought me to this country and my mom in the legal way, and they understood that this provides a dream, you know. So I made the best of it and joined the military, and it's culture. It's just it makes you, and I was proud to come here and proud to serve in the military, and that's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate you, brother. Culture's everything, man. All right, we got to talk a little guns before we get to Inez Stettman. Again, make sure you hang around for Inez Stettman. She's coming in like 5-10 minutes from now. There's something about the drop that I didn't know about, frankly. I'd heard a little bit about it. There's something about the drop from the Biden administration that is a really, really, really big deal. And Inez has a piece out in the Wall Street Journal today, and I want her to explain it better than I'll try to explain it. Better than Jerry Nadler. Remember Poopy Pants Nadler? Remember we talked about him on the radio show when Nadler pooped his pants and had to waddle off stage? Well, he's back. Whether or not he's sitting in poop, I don't know. I can only assume he's sitting in poop. But he is back, and Jerry Nadler has some very accidentally honest things to say about, you know, going to die for your country.
We recognize different ages for different purposes. We recognize 18 for the draft. We recognize 16 for driving in some states. We recognize 21 for drinking. So we recognize different ages for different purposes. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could I have a second to engage that?
Certainly. I'll yield to the gentleman from Kentucky.
Would the chairman join me in co-sponsoring a bill to raise the draft age to 21?
No.
But the chairman feels that their brains aren't fully formed at 18, 19, and 20.
This is classic. Just so you're following along. Jerry Nadler is out there saying, hey, you shouldn't be able to buy an assault rifle at 18. Your brain's not fully formed. Another guy says, hey, so I guess we should raise the draft level then, right? You can't be drafting 18-year-olds if their brains aren't fully formed. Let's raise that too. Nadler is currently, as I paused it, currently stuttering because he was just asked a question he doesn't have a good answer to. And as often happens with these communists, once he's done stuttering, he accidentally tells the truth about what he really thinks.
The research does indicate that in certain respects, but the Selective Service needs... I mean, if the country needs people, it needs people.
It needs people whose brains aren't fully formed?
In certain respects, yes.
I yield back.
Hoping that mine is fully formed at 40.
Hey, look, your brain isn't fully formed. Hey, we might need you to go die for your country, though. Interesting how all that works, isn't it? Len in Mississippi. Go, boss. Did I press the button? Len, are you there? Either Len screwed up or I screwed up. All right, anyway, remember how I've been telling you they don't have a plan for the midterms because they can't moderate. The communist doesn't stop. He doesn't reverse. He doesn't wake up one day and think to himself, I'm too crazy. So they have to come up with something else. And remember what I've been telling you they're going to do? They're going to double and triple down on the crazy. They're going to do the exact opposite thing you think and I think they should do. They're going to get even crazier. Headline, Nancy Pelosi says the House will consider an assault weapons ban legislation next week. Do you have any idea how unpopular that is in the United States of America? Oh, I have no doubt in Nancy Pelosi's district in San Francisco, it's quite popular. If you go to any downtown major urban center in this country, it would be very popular. But this is something that's unpopular with roughly 70% of the country, I would guess, maybe even higher. I mean, they're doing all these polls out there now. Even Democrats want teachers armed. They want schools hardened, you know, like normal people. And yet she's going to propose an assault weapons ban. Why? Again, they don't know how to stop. They don't know how to change direction. They don't know how to slow down. They're just going to keep going and going and going and going and going because it's the only thing they know how to do. And they're going to try to motivate a very unmotivated base to go out in the midterms. And the only way you can motivate a dejected, unmotivated base, start chalking them chum. They're chum in the waters. Come on in, sharks. That's what we need. Chum in the waters. I've seen Jaws, Chris. I know how to shark hunt. All right. Let's not act like I don't know how to shark hunt. All right, we got Inez Stettman coming up in a second to tell us what is this thing that's about to drop from the Biden administration. You're going to want to hear it. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and yes, this is a pretty good song, Chris. I support Inez for this song selection. I still say nobody knows what this lady says when she's like, with the heart of glass. Nobody knows. No one's ever known those lyrics in the history of mankind. Joining me now, my friend Inez Stettman. She's, of course, with the Independent Women's Forum and has a piece today you should go read on the Wall Street Journal. Inez, I'm looking at this title. It says title, and then there are all these Roman numerals after it, and I don't know what these words mean. What are you talking about?
Title 9, which is distinct from a bunch of other titles of our Civil Rights Act, but this one's an important one because it governs every educational institution in the United States that has taken a dime of federal money. And that means virtually every education system, every higher ed and all K-12, public K-12 schools. And some people have tried to apply it even to private schools if they take some like program money for textbooks or something like that. So it's a very, very broad part of our civil rights statute.
Okay, so this is something, Title IX, you just heard her, it applies to virtually every school. I'm assuming this is universities in K through 12, right, Inez? This is something that's pretty universal, applies to everyone.
That's correct. Kindergarten all the way through useless graduate school.
Okay. Now, what's the problem? What's going on with it? Because you sounded the alarm, and I hadn't read this until this morning. You sounded the alarm on something, and I was a bit concerned.
Yeah, well, so the Biden administration has leaked some planned changes to Title IX. And of course, this is another story where the bureaucracy is going to make massive changes without the normal legislative process. They're going to promulgate regulations on this civil rights title. Now, the civil rights title is very simple. It says that no educational institution that receives federal money can discriminate on the basis of sex. And the Supreme Court has held that in some extreme level of cases, if the school is not doing anything, for example, about continued objective, ongoing, objectively offensive harassment, sexual harassment, then schools are in violation of Title IX. But by which they mean somebody, you know, following a female student around, like screaming cuss words at her at every, you know, at every class, like that level of sort of harassment. But of course, that's not where it stayed over time. And these regulations are probably the most sweeping change that has ever been made non-legislatively. And there are three main buckets that it affects. One is free speech. And this is everything from sort of the pronoun debate to just being able to say things about, for example, males and females and sex roles. Anything that could be swept up by the school and imagined to be subjectively offensive. So there's a free speech bucket here. There's a due process bucket, and that's everything that happened to Justice Kavanaugh, right, during his Supreme Court hearings, his confirmation hearings, right? So this was how universities were conducting themselves until the Trump administration. They were, anyone who was accused of any kind of sexual misconduct, they were not given a modicum of due process. They were really, you know, kangaroo courts on campus that were ruining students' lives. On basically mere accusation, and which federal courts have repeatedly smacked down as violations of constitutional rights to due process. And then finally, there's actually the bucket that's the most transformative. Those two issues I just mentioned are huge in themselves. They affect basic constitutional rights. The third thing is that these proposed regulations are going to redefine the word sex to include gender identity. So everything they wanted to do, you know, with regard to including the rights, quote unquote, of men who want to identify as women, that would apply to everything. So K-12 all the way up through university. So if any school, for example, did not want Leah Thomas to swim on the girls' team, they would be in violation of federal civil rights law.
Okay, so game this out for me, Inez, because as you well know, I'm not nearly intelligent enough to work this out for myself. This is, by the way, speaking with Inez Stettman. You need to go read her piece in the Wall Street Journal today, because right now there's a parent listening to me in Seattle, and their child goes to school. He's a third grader, and they want to know, in what way is this going to affect their life or their child's life? What, game this out for me. How does this work?
This is something that schools are already doing and parents are pushing back against, right? For example, allowing boys who identify as girls to use the girls' locker room when they change for PE, or allowing boys who identify as girls to participate in girls' sports. We are already having this huge cultural flashpoint around that. But the difference is here, the schools will now be able to point and say, no, 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 the federal government requires, as a matter of civil rights law, that we do this. You have no say. So all of the parent pushback, the amazing parent pushback that has brought so many parents out to school board meetings, out to support school choice, out to rein in some of this indoctrination and gender ideology that's been happening in the school system. Now all those schools will be able to point to the feds and say, we have no choice. The feds said we have to do it. And so this is going to be a huge change. I think, look, maybe somebody can come up with an argument with an alternative, but I think this is probably the largest and most sweeping change to law that's ever been done by unelected bureaucrats.
Okay, and as now, let's go right back to that same third grade class in Seattle. The federal government says you have to. The school says, no, we won't. Parents have pushed back. What if they don't? What can the feds do about it? I know they can do something. I know it's drastic. What can they do?
They can just refuse to fund, right? So they can yank funding, theoretically. But I actually think that we're going to have to encourage schools and states to affirmatively push back and push this battle into the courts, because frankly, some of these changes are on their face unconstitutional, and others are simply far beyond the actual power that unelected bureaucrats have under our constitutional system. Now, I know that's a quaint way to look at these things. These days, it seems like everything the federal government does, more or less, is beyond the bounds of the Constitution. But this is new. Allowing agencies this kind of power to rewrite civil rights law in America and to force upon every state and every school in the country this mad idea that there are no biological differences between boys and girls, and that it's discrimination to actually recognize biological reality. This is absolutely something that should engender pushback. States should pass the definition of sex in their own state law to set up a conflict potentially with these regulations on the federal level. So for example, my organization, we have something called the Women's Bill of Rights, which does basically that. It just defines sex. It says a woman is an adult human female, like with gametes, large gametes, eggs. This is a woman, right? Answering that very basic question for the law, because it turns out to be extremely important in our law that we are able to distinguish between men and women biologically.
First of all, I guess I need to clarify, your Women's Bill of Rights doesn't include the right to vote, does it?
No, it doesn't actually. It just defines sex. So you can get on board, Jesse.
All right. I just want to be clear about that. And two, cynically, I know we've only got about a minute and a half here. What you just described for me at the end with this whole Title IX thing sounds like something that pushes us closer to the states dividing, the red states going one way hard, decoupling from the federal government. And in my mind, cynical Jesse, I say that's a good thing. Am I wrong?
I mean, I think that it is a good thing for the red states to push back against this madness, whether that ultimately results in a like unbridgeable gap between red states and blue states. I don't know. But the attempt of this regulation will be to put the full force of the federal government behind essentially, erasing biological sex, and also reversing basic constitutional rights. I have some hope, actually, that the courts will act on this, especially as it directly contradicts Supreme Court precedent, both in the free speech realm and in the due process realm. So I don't know that the courts are going to be that friendly to an agency directly contradicting Supreme Court decisions. So we'll see how this plays out in the courts, but there's no doubt that this is incredibly radical move from the Biden administration. And yeah, I hope that the red states do push back by passing the proper definition of sex on the state level. And then I hope schools just ignore this. But then the worry is they'll be investigated and ultimately fined by the federal government.
Yeah. Inez Stettman, I highly encourage you to go read her piece in the Wall Street Journal today. I thought it was very informative. Thank you, Inez.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right. We're going to get to some emails. I'm going to get to some more calls. 877-377-4373. We're going to talk about LeBron James and more culture. Before we do any of that, remember, you get bonus points when you call into the show on your Pure Talk phone. not just because I love Pure Talk, but because you're not calling me on your Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile phone. You care about the culture wars? Speaking of culture, they matter to you? Are you tired of looking at gutter trash in every TV commercial out there? Go look at the commercials AT&T puts out. Go look what Verizon and T-Mobile do. Look what they take your money every month and spend it on. You've never seen anything like that from Pure Talk, and you never will. Pure Talk's CEO is a Vietnam veteran. They love America so much, they base their customer service in America, and when you call, you talk to an American who speaks English. How about that? From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Takes less than 10 minutes. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll get to this LeBron James talk here in just a minute. That's always a good time, Chris, making fun of that. Joe Biden, however, I hate to break news, but you know that's just what journalists do.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse.
Joe Biden just gave a live address on guns. I could have gone to it live. I chose not to because it was all the same boring gobbledygook he says every time. We did grab a little bit of it for you. Here it was.
I want to be very clear. This is not about taking away anyone's guns. It's about not about vilifying gun owners. In fact, we believe we should be treating responsible gun owners as an example of how every gun owner should behave. I respect the culture and the tradition and the concerns of lawful gun owners. At the same time, the Second Amendment, like all other rights, is not absolute.
What's that old saying? Everything they say before but doesn't matter? Because that was old Joe trying to sound like moderate Joe, which is funny because that speech was given like 15 minutes after this Democrat stood on the House floor and said this.
Our lives the same as you did when you were kids, but we can't let you get away with this anymore. Enough is enough. Enough of you telling us that school shootings are a fact of life when every other country like ours has virtually ended it. Enough of you blaming mental illness and then defunding mental health care in this country. Enough of your thoughts and prayers. Enough. You will not stop us from advancing the Protecting Our Kids Act today. You will not stop us from passing it in the House next week, and you will not stop us there. If the filibuster obstructs us, we will abolish it. If the Supreme Court objects, we will expand it, and we will not rest until we have taken weapons of war out of circulation in our communities. Each and every day, we will do whatever it takes to end gun violence, whatever it takes.
No more Supreme Court, no more filibuster. That actually reminds me, this is a really great segue. Have you bought your Mantis X system yet? Have you? I have an email here. Dear Jesse, first, my son loves the Mantis X I gave him for his birthday. Get a Mantis X system. It attaches to your weapon. It couldn't be simpler. Don't worry. If you're one of these people who doesn't like technology, hey, who's worse at technology than me? Get a Mantis X system. It attaches to your weapon and you practice with your weapon, dry fire practice in the comfort of your home. Sit there in your living room, at your dining room table. Practice. And it's more than just target practice. They're giving you feedback. They're making you better. They're putting you through drills. The Marines use it. Go to Marine Corps boot camp in Paris Island. You'll see them using Mantis X. The Green Berets use it. You use it. Practice with your weapon. These are serious times. Practice. Go to MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com. Right, let's get to some emails. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Now. Ask me anything. They don't have to be political. Whatever you want. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We take the whole 3 hours and answer your questions. Jesse, I learned that everyone who hated Teddy Roosevelt got him to run for VP. because that's the job where political careers go to die, which ended up backfiring, as you know. Is that what the left did with Kamala? Or do they actually want her as president because they know she'll be just as good, if not a better puppet than Joe? It's not a bad question. But we have to understand. You know how I played this for you earlier? And don't worry, this is going to tie in. You know how I played Janet Yellen being wrong earlier? Remember, we looked it up yesterday. Janet Yellen, Yale, Brown, Treasury Secretary. I mean, should be as smart as it comes when it comes to economics, right? Just at least the basics. But, I mean, you'd expect her to be advanced, super advanced. She's the real oracle. She can see it all. Remember, we played this for you earlier.
As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand.
How does the Treasury Secretary, with all these degrees, how does she get something so wrong? This is going to apply to Kamala. Just stay with me for a second. Have you ever known a parent with a really rotten kid? I'm sure you have. Look, maybe you were the rotten kid. If you're listening to this show, the chances are high. But have you ever known a parent with a really rotten kid? Maybe one of your son's friends or daughter's friends? How often does that parent defend that child? A lot. And look, I'm guilty too. Now, I have to have two really good kids, but even if I didn't have two really good kids, I love my sons so much, I could absolutely see me pointing the finger elsewhere. Granted, I'd still tan their hides when they got home, but I could see me pointing the finger elsewhere. And this, just stay with me, this is going to apply to Kamala. There is this thing about human beings, the way our minds work. When we love something, when we're committed to something all the way, it can make us stupid. Love makes you dumb. It does. It makes you dumb. You can't see. Look, fellas, how many out there? How many of you are dating a redhead right now? You know it's dangerous. You know you shouldn't be there with that soulless ginger. And yet she's so hot, you're staying there anyway. No, but in all seriousness, love makes you stupid. You can't think straight. You can't see straight. The communists here in America, they're all cultural Marxists now. That whole class warfare thing, they still play it a little bit, but that never flew, that never really worked out here in the country because even our poor kind of had it okay. So they chose a different route with this cultural Marxism. One of the routes they chose was going all in on identity politics. I mean, they say it all the time now in the open, and we're horrified, and they can't even hear themselves. Remember when Biden said, I'm going to pick a woman for vice president? Wait, not just a woman, a black one. And we all said, wait, what? That's what you're basing it off of? That's insane. And then he did the same thing, remember, where he just did it with the new Supreme Court justice. It's going to be a black one. It's going to be a black woman. And we all said, this is the highest court in the land. Maybe we should have higher qualifications than that. But they didn't miss a beat, and they didn't stop at all, did they? And I'm going to explain to you exactly how and why this applies with Kamala and how love makes you do really, really stupid things. Just buckle up, and then we'll do some more calls tonight. 877-377-4373. Still going to make fun of LeBron, all that and more. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.